Is it on? Hello. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Welcome. We're how you're doing. We're a group of friends just sort of working on experimental, almost art social networking experience, and we're going to cover that with you today. My name is Drew Davidson. I'm at Carnegie Mellon. I'm the director of the Entertainment Technology Center, and on my left.
I'm Charles Palmer, also from Carnegie Mellon Entertainment Technology Center.
And I'm Patrick Curry. I'm a game designer in Chicago, Illinois. I work at Midway Games, and I also teach at DePaul University, teaching game design. But I also dabble in the black arts of web design with my friends here, and so whenever an interesting project comes up like this, I get drawn back into the world of the web.
So, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, man.
Long day.
Anybody get wet today? Like soaking wet?
How are you doing?
I'm wet.
It's a good day for us as well. Let's just jump into. We want to keep this as informal as possible. Switch these around. Thanks.
Get the mic near you.
Yeah. So you want to?
You start with the idea.
Okay. So this is kind of a weird idea, sort of in this space of social networking. What could we do to create a really quick interaction between a couple of friends, just to ask how are you doing, and sort of keep it light, keep it as quick as possible, but also create real connections other than making it a race for I've got 1,000 friends.
Make believe friends.
Making friends, yeah. Actually, keeping real friends.
This started with a conversation between Charles and I, and I thought it was an interesting idea. As he talked about the having a site that just asked you how you're doing, and we knew that there were some sites out there that were similar. But I started really getting hooked on the idea of, for me, social networkings are a huge time sink, and I've actually started slowly culling myself off of everything. I actually never got on Facebook. Because even prior to Facebook, I was getting overwhelmed by my social networking, almost like obligations, it felt like. With that in mind, it got me really interested in the idea of creating a social networking site that had a low time commitment, but had a highly rewarding interactive experience around that. And so that sort of started the conversation between Charles and I getting interested, and we got Patrick involved.
Yes, I fairly paranoid individual, and I kind of avoid social networks like the plague. And so when Drew said the word something like anti-social network, I was like, I'm in. And then there's lots of other things I like about the project and reasons I wanted to get involved. But that was really appealing to me. And I thought it was something that I could use personally. I'll talk about that more in a second.
Then the fourth member, Rex, is actually from Carnegie Mellon as well. He's a master's student in human-computer interaction. He came out of this from a different bent. He wanted to look at, if we create something that collects a lot of data, how can you interact with that data and creating different ways of visualizing all these various aspects of the data that we wanted to generate from a system like this? Which led us into the experiment.
So, how you do? I've been sort of joking. I've been talking to friends here, catching up at South by Southwest, referring to it sort of as an anti-Facebook, something that doesn't end up inundating you with everything that your friends are doing, all the little games, all the little things that really, really draw you in. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Is anybody here
from Facebook? Is anyone here from Facebook?
Facebook does what it does really, really well so that it's the crack of social networking.
We're in the clear.
Also, a little bit off of Twitter, less micro, like Twitter's really micro blogging, and I got interested in a micro experience in that it was just once a day, almost like a vitamin, one a day. Click, you know, one interaction a day, really almost like slow art of a social networking site. How to have something that goes across time that, to me, it's sort of like the tortoise and the hare. This is the tortoise of a social network site. And then on the back end of that, really it's pinging you once a day just to see how you're doing. You give it an answer, and then as you slowly, consistently just sort of participate once a day, it opens up some rich data visualization possibilities. So you can see data and see how other people are doing and slowly start getting various ways to look at all this data set and letting people to experience it. And that's what Rex, who the member who couldn't be here, is really interested in, is how to help the user community to look at the data in interesting and innovative ways.
So I came at it from the social side. I was actually working on creating a shared collaborative writing tool for a group of friends where we could share story ideas, but then it sort of started distilling down into this, I just wanted to check up with people that I hadn't seen in a while, and I didn't want the, I should stop saying Facebook, but I didn't want all of the weight that came along with some of the other solutions that were out there. So as Drew said, this was just a germ, this was just an idea, and an impetus came about for us to say, well, let's take it somewhere and let's see what we can actually do with it. So I thought the social interaction was really interesting, but I wanted to make sure that it wasn't heavy-handed.
And for me, I came at it, like I was just saying earlier, how meaningful can you make one click? And so I really wanted to get to the least common denominator in terms of an interaction and then see how much meaning you can get out of that. And so that's been sort of our call to action here amongst ourselves as we think about ways to develop this further, is just, you know, remember it's one interaction a day and how much you can then enable people to see around that. And so that sort of inspired me because I really, really enjoy looking at data displayed, like, you know, tough, delicious type data display.
And I also wanted that data, but I wanted it for greedy personal reasons that I thought it'd be really interesting to know how I was feeling and what my mood was over a period of time. And I've been keeping a journal for several years, and I've been blogging for the last couple of years, kind of off and on blogging. But I never totally boiled it down to, like, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling okay, I'm having a really crappy day. And that's kind of information that, looking back, I'd like to see, be like, hey, what are my happy journal entries, and why are they happy? Or what are my sad ones, and why are they sad? And, you know, I'm just lazy, and never made that Excel spreadsheet like I meant to. So having a website that reminded me once a day to tell the system how I'm feeling, and especially if I got to keep or, you know, partially control the website and not send that out to some corporation, but, you know, a little nonprofit organization like we are. That was very appealing to me, so I'm in it for me, I'll be honest.
So we started playing and kicking around the ideas and put something together really quick and dirty. We looked a lot at the user experience, sort of split it up between the tech side and then the user experience itself. And the implementations of the goals that we set for ourselves were, as you see, sort of listed up there, something that could foster community, one-click rich visualization. You know, we really wanted it to be a very short interaction. You can do this 3 seconds a day and sort of lock the user into just that 3 seconds so they aren't spending time coming back hour after hour and modifying that information. But then there's this game aspect as well.
Yeah.
And sort of we wanted to bring people back, and so we got a game expert.
Yeah, as a game designer, I by definition have to turn everything I touch into some sort of game. And for me, that means making it rewarding, giving the user something to walk away from with the experience, ideally something fun. But, you know, this wasn't like a big, heavy-handed experience. It was like really quick, in and out. So we had to start thinking about ways to turn that tiny, tiny little interaction into something meaningful that lasts over days and days and days. Because for us, if you come to the website once and you tell us how you're doing, that's okay. But we're really much more interested in a large, long-term data set. And fun is a great way to keep people coming back, and to use an old word from the 90s, make it a really sticky website.
And if we could keep people coming back more and more, we actually collect more and more data to actually to be able to make some inferences about what we're collecting and how people are using it.
Right, and sticky over a long period, like sticky as in 5 seconds once a day for a year or 2 years or 3 years, not like, oh, you spent 3 hours on my website today. That's great. That's good enough for me. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's been a really interesting challenge when we talk about it, and hopefully what we're trying to do in our discussions is go through several shorter slides, and we really wanted to open it up to you all because it's this balancing act. We talk about ways to get people engaged and invested, and then we always go, okay, one click or just one interaction, and is that possible? And so it's a very interesting design challenge we've set for ourselves, and we're going to show you a demo in just a little bit of where we are right now, but also want to invite conversation and inspiration. We actually had some debate prior to we coming up here in front of the crowd, and we're like, let's save this for the panel, because there's some things where Patrick really believes in some things, and I keep going, one click, one click. Don't forget, I just want it to be one click. And so we really want to open that up to you all.
So where are we right now? We've put together sort of, we were trying to come up with a term that was pre-alpha, so we're saying it's in utero. And we've sort of targeted our preliminary art style. Patrick sort of put aside his game designer hat for a few moments and took on the challenge of designing the art style. It's built in a language that we had that was quick and dirty, you know, something we can put together really quickly. But again, this is all open up to whatever the final system really requires. That's when we'll make the system requirements itself. And then it was open up to a limited group of testers. We just wanted to start having people pound on it from various browsers, from various places, and see what felt right about that interaction itself.
And this site is actually the kind of second iteration that we've gone through. And, you know, I found it usually takes at least 3 tries to get it right. So you get to see the second attempt, which I'm sure will change dramatically before the public beta kicks off.
And it's much prettier than my version, which no art background was. Very techy, let's say.
Also, one of the things, I actually lived in Austin back in the 90s, and I worked at a company called Human Code. Is there any human coders in the room? Oh, my gosh, we're everywhere.
You can't escape.
And I love the idea of Web 2.0. To me, sounds very, O'Reilly was really clever in coining that, because back in the 90s, those were promises companies were making already. So like this Web 1.0, there's not much distinction outside of the promises started really coming true post-boom, post-bust, as the bandwidth was there, and they finally had the infrastructure to make those promises come true. But back in the 90s, this is stuff that we were talking about, and we were thinking, you know, really looking at how to make engaging experiences. We were really looking at ways to create community around experiences with some of the stuff we were designing back in the 90s, you know, quote-unquote Web 1.0. And so, as much as this is low tech and anti-Facebook or anti-Twitter and somewhat of its philosophy, it also, we really wanted to have this really enriching experience, Web 1.0.
So let's take a few moments and let this, see if it'll actually fire up here.
It's Web 1.0. We have a 14.4 modem in the back here. It's loading on.
So we, you know, right now, since it is a sort of closed delivery cycle, we left it out there so people could still come into the site and interact with it and give them a little bit of feedback of what's going on in the site, what our intentions are, so that even an anonymous user could come in and make use of the site. But you know, we worked on this idea of, well, how do you want people to quantify their mood, right? And I think originally we started off with 7 different categories, and I really like this idea of not using an even number, of getting rid of the middle ground, getting rid of the gray, so people actually have to sit on one side of the fence. And so that's why we went to an even number, and I have a feeling we might go up to 6, but just depending on how the data itself skews. Right now there's no weighting that's going on, and it takes a lot to have a really good day for a community. So we'll play around with that a little bit. But the anonymous user would sort of, you know, select their mood, and if my browser would actually recognize what size resolution we have, you can see how you're doing today. I'm not logged in, so this is just me, and this is how the world is doing. And this is just based on the small set of, I think, 33 users we have that are sitting in there now. But we want to see what happens as we start extrapolating and getting a much larger and larger population. And just looking at the numbers now, I know there is some weighting that's going to have to go on with the values.
Well, I think there's already some interesting patterns. Like, the weather's been really horrible this past week. Like, I live in Chicago. It's been snowing, and it's been raining here like crazy. And so looks like the world's having a bad week. But the faces are one of my favorite little parts, not just because I came up with them, but because we really wanted to come up with a way that was non-threatening for people to share their mood. You know, again, I'm kind of a privacy nut, and there's certain things I want to share about myself with the world, and certain things I don't. And so I like the smileys, because that's already how I communicate my mood to my friends. Like, I'm constantly instant messaging, and friends are like, "Hey, what's up? How you doing?" And I'm going to respond with a smiley before I type out, like, "Oh, man, I'm having a bad day." I'll just give them a frowny, and then they say, "Oh, I'm buck up. Here's an e-hug." And so I like that. And, you know, we'll probably go through a few more iterations in terms of the exact colors and what the exact smileys are. But I thought it's non-threatening. At least it's non-threatening to me. Hopefully it's non-threatening to you. But then it's also familiar. You know, this is the language I use to talk about my mood. And so hopefully that carries over to some other users as well.
If we jumped in as an individual user, you would get a little more information. sort of a little bit more of how I'm doing today, yesterday, this week, and then this month, and then and then we display our friends, what they did over the same goal, and then the world itself.
And in this first iteration, one of the things we thought was really important was quick and easy to get a sense of what's going on. We even debated, I remember our first pass at this, we had today, yesterday, and out for a whole week. So it was a longer column of moods. And almost immediately we said, well, I think it was Patrick who came up with the idea, well, what if we just do this week, this month? And then you got a cleaner, quicker snapshot of just one clear look at the data. And for us, this is something that we want to continue to discuss, and as we open it up, have the community get involved in ways of how the data can be looked at and how the data can be parsed out.
And the thing I really like about this is that it keeps your friends anonymous. Like, you're not seeing, like, oh, Bob had a good day, but Sally had a great day, and Jimmy had an okay day. It just says you, your friends, and then the world. And so you can still be anonymous even if you have a group of friends all registered on the site and you're sharing your mood. You're not really putting yourself out there unless you really want to. And then, again, from a privacy perspective, that's really important to me. Like, I might say, okay, I'm going to let my wife and Drew and Charles, they can see my mood. But everyone else, I'm just an aggregate number in a friend pool.
We also, Patrick had this idea that this is actually just a dashboard. You know, we sort of log in and this is what I see. And it sort of expands to some things below, which sort of hint at where we can go from here and start looking at merits or how we reward good citizenry. You know, when people come into the site and they make use of it, and, you know, if I log on 10 days in a row, I might get some type of achievement. But we'll talk about that a little bit.
Sure. I'm pretty enamored with the Xbox 360. I spend a lot of my time playing that system and designing games for it. And so they have a great achievement system, which as you complete levels and complete certain feats in the system, you get these achievements, which then you can show off to all your friends. And it's a great way to turn any game experience into a social experience. And so we were kind of batting that idea around, and also the idea of just badges or points. Again, I'm a game designer, so forgive me. I immediately start thinking about, you know, experience points and leveling up, like World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy or something. But we wanted to keep it more simple and more clean than that. So one great example is that if you earn, let's call them points, or I like calling them howdies because they sound friendly. I like giving things a little personality. So if you earn a howdy every time you log into the site and log your mood, that's great. And then you gain more howdies, and people kind of like accumulating stuff, and howdies kind of sound friendly. So if you say, I've got 100 howdies, that sounds pretty cool. So that makes the experience a little bit more fun. But then we wanted to give the users a way to get even more. So for example, if you log in for 10 days in a row, you get those 10 howdies, but then you also get an extra one, an 11th, just as a little, hey, good job for doing that. And if that compounds every 10 days, you know, by your 20th day, you're getting two extras, and your 30th, three extras. So the user would want to kind of continue this streak, if for no other reason than just accumulating these points and keeping up his streak, because it makes the user feel good about himself and kind of fun.
And one of the things we really liked about the streak idea, we started talking, and this we haven't solved yet, and we're going to throw it out to you all as well, that sometimes streaks are hard to keep. So for me personally, getting here to Austin from Pittsburgh, there's no direct flight, so it kind of involves a full day of travel. And airlines, right, as it are, I think all three of us were delayed on the way here as we flew into Austin, so it's just one of those things that your day just gets a little longer. So that might break my streak of participating, possibly, if I were busy and I wasn't checking. You know, one of the things that we haven't really discussed is how this pushes to you. You receive an email currently right now, and we're already looking to develop out so they can send an SMS or a text message, but currently it sends an email out to every user that just gives you the emoticons, and you click on the emoticon of how you're feeling, and that's an instant login right there. But one of the things that we thought in terms of how to track streaks is maybe it's a percentage, so that there's some way to really reward the person, as Patrick was saying, who's across time, and it's consistency, really. We're not asking much, so how do we make that reward feel like it's worth once a day, every day, 10 times a day? I mean, 10 times, you know, in a row, and maybe you miss a day, so 9 times. So that's, you're still sort of in the ballpark of 90% consistency, and giving certain points where then that would open up these little achievements of getting a question where it's like, how are you doing today, and would you like to share your gender? And that'll open up more data visualization for you. So if you say, sure, I'll let you know that I'm a guy, then that's a new data visualization set. You can get on the after you've logged your, you can look at how guys are doing, how women are doing. So across time, just sort of looking at ways to do two things, get that type of award with the howdies or whatever we decide to call them, and the streaks of just consistent participation, but then really being ad hoc about what we want to do. Like we were joking today, like we could do, you know, we're talking about Gary Gygax, and like maybe you could do affiliation as one. You know, what's your affiliation? And I'm chaotic neutral. And then there's a certain subset of people that'll mean a lot to, and they'll want to see how those groups are doing.
We have to thank Michael for that.
Yeah, that was a Michael Augustin sitting out there in the back. And so that came in as this idea of how do we do it one way that's just fun and games, because it's three of us having fun with this around our real jobs, but in another way to try to be somewhat considered in our choices and thoughtful so that the data starts building in very interesting ways. So we start getting categories that play off of each other, and we start thinking about things that could enable people to find interesting connections and overlaps with all these data sets.
And I very much like the idea that we only pose these extra questions to you after you've leveled up, for example. So after you've earned your 10th howdy, then we venture to say, well, what's your gender? And again, we'd want that to be completely optional. Again, very sensitive to the privacy issues. But it almost feels like a reward, because when someone asks you how you're doing, it's kind of a compliment even. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good. You care. That's super. But then if someone says, well, you know, are you a guy or a girl? Or kind of the classic AOL, ASL question, you know. If someone asks you ASL, you're like, oh, okay, they're interested. That's cool. And so, again, these are like very little kind of micro social rewards, but that I think can be meaningful in this kind of context of, you know, 5 seconds a day. So if, you know, every Saturday you get asked one little extra optional question, which you can answer if you want or not. Again, it's a tiny little investment in this kind of growing data pool, which, you know, maybe in a year's time would have some really interesting patterns that, you know, that we can't even imagine.
And we like the idea of sort of if you give a little more information, you'll get a little bit more visualization. And so on the back end, you can just, you know, if you share a little bit more, that enables the data to be more, that much more rich for you to explore. And so we thought that, at least for me, that was a reward.
So just looking at some of the achievements, just starting points were extended demographics, so sort of the gender questions that you could ask, or maybe tagging your entries. You know, after so many achievements, you had the ability to tag your entries. So the system can do something like, you know, when it comes back and sends you your daily email, it says, you know what, we've noticed that every Monday you have a sad day. You know, you're unhappy. You know,
so it's Monday.
It's Monday, yeah. Or Tuesday for some people. But, you know, just being able to tag that and reference that as part of your data set. You know, sort of in that ad hoc stream of sort of making or assigning myself a hobby and seeing how other hobbyists in my area are feeling about on a particular day. Use your city as a mood, but also higher end and almost an elder game is this idea that once I've achieved some level, I could pose a question just to my circle of friends. You know, so how do you feel about, you know, one of the things we're throwing out there is if we can get this running and up, you know, we expect May, June, by the time the election comes around, is sort of asking people in your circle of friends right before the election, how are you feeling about the election? You know, and then asking them afterwards, how are you feeling? And just watching what could happen with a small community of people, and then also watching what would happen if we can expand that to the entire community as well.
Yeah, the election is definitely kind of my ultimate focus test for this. After we launch the public beta, I'd like to get this growing to the point where we can really see how people are feeling about things, not necessarily about one candidate or the other, but, you know, I know in my life the election has always been, you know, a big turning point, especially the last two have been very interesting. And so it'd be interesting to see how everybody reacts, both in terms of, you know, our friends, but then everyone who's participating in the site under our world category.
And for me, it just became, I started thinking of bigger buckets, like how could we tie data to places or times or specific groups or specific events? And again, trying to, like one of the things with these polling questions, I'm like, well, does that count as one click? Are we kind of, or is the purity of one click, maybe we could fudge a little and say it's one interaction. You get the email, you still do your one click, but that logs you into the site, and then you have a question from a friend. And so I've been balancing that. How do we, you know, by giving a little bit more, you get a little bit more, but also that balance of not having it become something that the next thing you know, you've got 50 friends and you've got 50 questions when you log in, and it starts feeling like a Facebook or a Twitter, at least for me, where that becomes a heavy, like I'm very OCD.
It becomes a job.
I'm very OCD about requests of my time. I like to honor those if I have them, and when you Facebook and Twitter become too much for me, so does I am. Oh my gosh.
So we've been sort of hinting at this moving into a public alpha, public beta, or an alpha stage, and then a public beta. But we're really looking at what this merit system is going to look like. You know, what's going to work best with the community, and that's the reason for us sort of pushing this May time frame.
Yeah, we want to find something that makes it rewarding and makes it compelling. You know, more than a day or 2 days. If we can hit the point where, what is it, like 2 weeks is habit forming or something like that? If we can get people to hit that two-week mark and make that compelling for them, I think we'll be in good shape and hopefully have a very interesting data stream through the rest of the year.
And part of the reason we wanted to get this out here now, we were torn between how hard do we want to push for something that's polished and how much do we want to present this as sort of in utero to the public. And we were really passionate about getting it out in utero because the more we've talked about it with people, the more people really seem to get interested in it. And along with the privacy issues, one of the things that we're very passionate about also is, I think, open source. We want to start, like Patrick said, a year from now, there might be ways to do things with data that we haven't envisioned now. And if the people are really, really interested, have the APIs there and have the community start enabling things in ways to, and like calls to action, I'll let Charles talk about that more, just things that the community can do within this structure.
Right, so once an API is out there, that's it. It's sort of what is everyone else thinking? You know, what could happen next with something like this? Is there something there? Again, we sort of phrase this as an experiment. It may be a failed experiment, but it's still a chance to sort of play around with the idea and see what we glean out of it and say, oh, well, you know, that was fun, but it's not persistent or there's not enough there, and then it becomes a job or we get other people involved with it and pass it along.
Oh, one quick thing on the call to action before we move on is the idea that I think there will probably end up being some low-hanging fruit in terms of conclusions. You know, if I have a bad day or log a really bad day 4 days in a row, it might be nice if the website says, hey, maybe you should like tell someone you need a hug. Or if you have like a really great day, or three or four really great days in a row, say, hey, go give somebody a hug, you know, go do something awesome for somebody. And I think there's a really fine line between like goofy and heavy-handed, but then actually something that just is genuine, which is something that I find is really lacking on the web, especially with like make-believe friends on the internet and whatnot. And so if I could get some actually like genuine interactions where maybe one of my absolute closest friends calls me up on the phone, which friends don't do as often as, you know, we used to back before all this, and said, hey, man, how you doing? That would make my day. And so I would really love to see that kind of meaningful interaction between the users on the social network.
So we wanted to, we really were hoping to get to a certain point where we could open up for discussion. And for us, this is sort of like Q&A and I, questions, answers, and ideas. We'd love to poll you all as well and ask questions. So feel free to step up to the mic and get to some discussion going here.
Hello. Hi. My name is Eric.
When you step up, could you just tell us who you are and where you're from?
And how are you doing?
Rana. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
The question is, the how you're doing application to me seems like the part of every blog I ever write, maybe on MySpace, maybe on Facebook, maybe on Zanga, where I just put how I'm feeling. And so my opinion is if you guys can figure out a way to leverage getting into a blog, you're going to have such a wide amount of participation, maybe a plugin.
Right.
And I think it's something to think about earlier on than, I like the idea of having a grand idea, but I like also the fact that you guys are just playing with this idea. And I think if you can get in where people are, their behavior is already, like they're already supplying this information. Like when I'm on MySpace, I will admit that, when I'm on MySpace, I'm putting like the most goofy emotion I can, because that's kind of how I feel. Like there's one that says ninja, and I don't know how that relates to that, but there's probably some value. Mm-hmm. You guys can probably figure out some sort of value. And sometimes I put knighted, or sometimes I feel sleepy, and all those little things we're already doing. So if you can figure out a way to be a part of that conversation, all the work that you guys want to do with visualizing it and demographic-wise and, you know, location-based emotion, I think, could happen really fast. Right. If you figure out a way to just sneak it in there, and then then you're done. You're done. I mean, that's it. I think you're just start blowing up.
We were talking to some colleagues from Facebook, and they were like, so you jokingly say you're anti-Facebook, but what if we invite you to get involved on Facebook? What does that mean? And I kind of agree with your comment. It's less about really, I'm not anti-Facebook, to be honest, but the idea of providing just that one moment, and then the data visualization, it could come from MySpace, it could come from Facebook, and I completely agree. If it got into something like that, it could explode in terms of all of a sudden we've got a lot of data coming in.
I also think it could be a two-way street. It could be, we could have, you know, an embedded HTML snippet. So if you wanted to, if you're the kind of person who wants to share, you could embed your little profile of, you know, today, yesterday, this week, and this month on any website you wanted, be it a blog or a MySpace profile or something. And those are, like, really easy little widgets to knock out. And maybe or maybe not, that contains a call to action to ask your friends how they're doing. But again, I'd like to put that user that power in the user's hands more than us saying, hey, you have to use this blogging software and this particular emoticon. And I'd like to push that out more than keep it in.
Yeah, I'd like it to be open to all of them, not get to be proprietary.
Because who knows which will be the social networking site of tomorrow. And
I have a question / idea. My name is Dave. I write a blog called Extraface. And I wonder if you'll ever consider moving away from the standard chosen emoticons. I mean, I feel like there's really deep meaning possibilities in whatever's meaningful to the user. Like for me, I love The Wire. And a lot of times those same emails I send about how I'm feeling aren't a smiley face. It's like Omar Little, or it's, you know,
awesome.
This is where I am today. So if you can allow a user to create their own scale that is consistently meaningful for them, I think you'd get a lot of rich data that way and a lot of rich interaction.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the idea of, like, the emoticons sort of started from the inspiration of, oh, it's Web 1.0. Let's go back in the day. But I really love the point you're making here of part of what we'd like to see from the community help is, like, thinking about things that are more meaningful than I'm great, I'm so-so. I love the idea of four so that people can't just neutralize and go, eh, I'm right there in the middle. That always seems to become the standard in a five-question answer. And so that said, though, I love the idea of, like, ninjas or something that enables people to say something more meaningful. And again, I think enriches the data.
Hello. My name is Anna. I'm from Dallas, and I'm doing fantastic. All right.
Fantastic. That's what I forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
12 icons.
So you guys were saying that you're a nonprofit and you have concerns with privacy issues. So what are you going to do with all this information? Is it just for the visualizations? And my second question is, where does the money come in then? And are you guys concerned with that?
It's an experiment. So at this point, to answer the money issue first, that's not even something we're thinking about. Drew and I are from a university, so the idea of money can't even come into the equation at this point.
It's in utero for us on all kinds of levels. It's interesting being at South by Southwest because a lot of people go, so what's the business plan? And you can tell how taken aback they are. We're like, well, we're just playing around right now. And so it's three of us exploring ideas, and we kind of want to open that up. But for me, at least, the privacy issues are really hard line. And so it's something where the data visualization is just there for visual, and there'll always be opt-ins and opt-outs, you know, very clear, very consistent, so that people go, oh, I do want to share my gender. Well, now I don't really. Or, you know, I'm sharing with Patrick, but now I don't want to share with Patrick on that level. Oh, yeah, definitely think so. Portability is important, too. That's a good question there. I'd like it to just be something that is easily accessible from wherever, whatever device, place, space.
Yeah, I think one of the first interfaces we'll do besides just browsing the website is just an RSS feed of the world, and then maybe an RSS feed of your friends if you put in your particular user ID.
Not only just cool. APIs in terms of how to get into the interactive experience, but also, like you're saying, portability. It's like, well, here's this data set, and keeping it at a certain level of protection, but allowing people to go, well, I would love to play with that data set, you know, in a much more experimental way. I know, getting back to your question about privacy, saying Amazon. Amazon's under a lot of pressure to have to that. They have a data set. Oh my gosh, do they have a data set of buying patterns and viewing patterns and browsing patterns? And if that's just something that so far they've held on to because it behooves them in a business sense. And for us, it's more like we want to share that, but keep it on the anonymous level so that people, the data just gets out there in terms of the spread of answers as opposed to tied to a specific person.
And I'd also like to see it where you can participate without a particular email address and without any particular way that ties it back to you as a human being. So we'll put on our thinking caps about that.
My name is Avneet. I run a website called insidery.com, which is a document repository for business and management information. So three really quick ideas or suggestions. One is related to what the gentleman said earlier about making it more than those four emoticons. One maybe slightly goofy way to do it is for those that are more geeky in nature, you can just decide the curvature of the line. So you just feed it 270 degrees or whatever. And I'm sure there's 1,000,000,000 other ways to do it. So that's one. Second, more selfish, I think for not just what you're doing, but the way you're doing it, you know, gathering moods or how people are doing in a very easy, intuitive kind of manner, I think that has huge business implications. Organizations spend tens of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars in taking employee satisfaction surveys and measuring success of initiatives and whatnot. If you ever wanted to go that route, I'd be really happy to have a discussion because I'm a little from the dark side, from the side that wants to make a profit.
Use your forces for good. Come on.
Yeah. Third thing, I think there is also another application of this, which is more global in nature. I mean, imagine the power of a news reporter saying, there was, this is a little negative, but there was a flood in so-and-so location, and because of that, the mood index, or whatever name we give it, dropped from 3 to 2.5 and so on. So it could be a standardized way of reporting how people around the world feel as a result of certain events. So, but great idea.
Thank you. I think that flood idea also jostled something loose where you could track dips in certain people reporting. If you say, hey, a certain zip code completely stopped reporting now, well, there was a tornado. You know, they don't have power. That could be really fascinating. And I think if we keep the interaction as tiny and minimal, as easy as possible, then we have the maximum number of users and get the most possible data.
So are you going to geotag it
then? That could be something we were thinking. It could definitely be geotagged or it could be volunteered at a certain reward level. You know, it's like, oh, share where you live and opt in to say, yes, I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or I live on the moon, maybe. We'll see how many people are on the moon. Just getting at the idea of reporting, one of the things I thought about the power of this is tied into behavioral economics, starting to look at the field of study where people are really looking at how human beings actually don't make rational decisions often, but there are predictable ways to look at how irrational we can be. And a great way to look at that is the stock market. And they have all this data tracking, and if you've got enough data around moods, you could actually start seeing some interesting patterns, and not only just relating the data and having people opt in, but you could start relating the data, like Patrick said, well, man, that day it was all blue, and you look and see that there was, you know, something happened, it was a tragedy on that level, or it could just be, it'd be very interesting to use a Pittsburgh example. On the day the Steelers lose, I guarantee you Pittsburgh's going to be a blue city. When they win the Super Bowl, oh my gosh.
White.
And, you know, it's interesting to start, like, thinking about how to attach it to news or events.
My name is Matt, and I am your competition.
Whoa!
I'm here with a friend and coworker, another Matt. We have a site called Nemeye. So we chose three choices instead of four. You can either feel nah, or meh, or yeah. So it's nemeye.com, and we're doing something very, very similar. We started it. We started the idea back in, like, November. And
ours was in at least September.
Oh, well.
2005.
We launched it at a local refresh in Phoenix in January. But we've got like 50 or so users right now, and do the exact same thing.
How's it going?
It is pretty good, but we have a loyal refresh group, so they're pretty loyal to it. We got a lot of feedback. Like our group doesn't want emails. They want an RSS feed, and then they actually want to be able to Twitter in that they're meh and have it register. So, and then also our inspiration was I remember hearing that Steve Jobs at whatever university it was he spoke at, and he said he had kept track of his moods. And also the picture a day kind of thing, 365 projects. So a feature, I'll give it away now, and you can work on it too, that we're working on is applying your own photo, but keeping the neh, or the meh, or the yeah. So you can track it with your own photo or the icon. So.
Awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah, I remember when we...
thanks, Matt.
When we first started talking about this last week, that's when we... No. there was a website... I just remember when Charles and I first started talking about it, and I was like, somebody's got to be doing this. And so I just typed in Moody, and there's a website, moodyornot.com. They've been going for a while. And it's always – what I think is interesting about ideas is, I'm sure you've heard it around here, ideas are cheap, implementations will get you somewhere. And for me, it's, again, since we're experimental and we're not trying to monetize it right now, it's all about karma. So anything we can do to sort of, like, think about this in similar ways and support each other, that's what I'm all interested in.
Yeah, I was going to say, please come by and say hi afterwards, Matt.
Yeah, please come up.
Yeah, my name's Mike. I'm right here in town, just here out of general interest. But my first thing is an observation, just in that, with Nemea, with this new one that you guys are doing. I mean, I can see the kind of general level of excitement and interest initially in the general public, and there's so many avenues to go in with kind of plugins and what you can do with the data sets and how you can subgroup your moods and customize them to yourself, throw down your own skins and break out great into 15 different types of great that you personally want to answer but shows up on your website is great. My question then is, how are those four right now, maybe six later, how are those moods weighted? Are they each given equal weight, or if two people answer great and one person answers so-so, is it going to come out good or is it going to come out great? That sort of thing. How are you guys weighting those moods in relation to the data sets?
Right now it's wrong. It's weighted evenly. And we know just, the last 2 weeks I've been really crawling through the data and starting to look at it, and I've seen that, and I think I said this a little earlier, it's really hard for a community to have a good day. Because you're always going to get someone to pull it down out of the ranking scale. So I think once we get a little more data and a number more people are in there, we can start playing around with the weights, which I think are going to go on the outliners, bad and good. Again, we'll have to play with it and see what's going to happen. But yeah, after about a week of seeing it in there, it's like, wow. people are always okay or so-so, what's going on with it, and that's exactly the case.
Yes, especially as a community. It was interesting to notice, once you get just a couple dozen people, it just seems like the community's okay. And so that becomes interesting. How do you visualize out and make it more with weighting, but also just ways to show how the aggregate comes to okay? Because maybe Patrick's really, like a
moody.
Lot of us, are moody, and the weather's, it was interesting talking to my wife who's on it right now, and she's up in Pittsburgh, and on Friday it rained all day, freezing rain Friday night, 5 inches of snow Saturday, and she called me while I was like, oh, I'm outside, and it's sunny and beautiful, and I'm eating with friends, and she's like, I'm stuck in the house with three dogs, and so that would be interesting to think about how to show that in some way, to show that, the aggregate comes up to okay, or weigh it, but more accurately, or I don't know if accurate's the right word, maybe precise, but...
Well, a part that really appeals to me is that everyone has their own definitions of what, these emotions are. And so there's like this human layer of interpretation. So if anyone ever came to me and said, man, Patrick, you're really upset on Fridays, I could be like, well, my upset is you're happy. It just doesn't really matter. I mean, it doesn't line up. That's my own personal data. So I think that that's just kind of a part of the experiment. And, if we can find an iconography that people can identify with, on some sort of common level, that's great, but it'll never be perfect. Like, we're not actually, measuring neurons or blood sugar or how much coffee you've had every day.
I also think it's interesting in terms of what do moods mean. I'm very happy with the ambiguity of that. And it's for me, I find this fascinating because I love this project and I keep talking about the data, and I'm not a quantitative researcher. I'm a qualitative researcher. And so I'm not the one who's going to be crunching the numbers. But
my name's Josh. I'm with Spriggly.com. And we actually have a background in disease management and kind of clinical coding. And we do something like this on a consumer-facing site where we actually look through clinical codes, partially from like medical disease data sets, but then also through personal health record aggregators that are available to consumers, like from Microsoft and another company we've been working with. And so my question is, and then ask other questions, like how well are you sleeping, how's your stress, and then you can start to see patterns, you know, interrelated between moods, between, you know, behavioral type questions, and between did you take your insulin today. And so my question is, have you thought about doing anything like this in the healthcare space?
We actually were debating that a little earlier today, where we started talking, like Patrick had the idea, well, what if the system pings you back and goes, well, I've noticed you've been blue 4 days in a row, you know, ask for a hug. And we're like, we've got to keep it goofy, because none of us are qualified, you know. That would take, for me at least, if a system's starting, you know, you don't want it to get to the saying, hey, go get an e-hug's one thing, and saying, hey, go to counseling is another thing.
Bad.
You know, seek help now.
Turn off your computer. Walk away.
And so I do think there are actually some potential health or wellness applications for sure, but that'd be something where just on the variety of projects I've worked on in the past, both in the industry and in academes, I'd want to be really, just even as a director of a center in this day and age with students who have, you know, emotional issues, faculty really aren't prepared, nor should they try to tackle. We're literally having meetings regularly about if a student seems to need some help, the faculty should not try to help that student. You know? So yeah. We don't want this site to become the, like, hey, you seem sad. Or, wow, you're doing really good. Where are you? Mexico, on vacation. Austin's a good time. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Eric, and I'm a web developer. And I was wondering a little bit about how you guys focused on mood as the data that you're going to collect. And then I had the thought that if you're really going to all this trouble to directly poll lots of people to make a data set, have you thought of other types of data that you could poll for that would give you maybe more meaningful numbers for when you do the data visualization and stuff?
I'm just gonna,
I don't know, for example, like gross national product or something.
Go ahead, sorry. I was just curious, I was gonna turn that back around. It felt like a loaded question. I was like, Josh has an idea. Okay. I think that could be interesting. I think we went for mood. It really was the initial conversation of wouldn't it be interesting to just ping once a day. And I personally latched onto the, oh man, one click a day, one interaction a day. It's like a vitamin, although I don't do vitamins once a day.
I think, you know, mood was one of those things where, wow, if we saw how people were feeling, could we actually make a relation to why that mood came about, you know, on the larger sense? You know, are there things that happen in the small community, or in the global community, that would really affect mood? And I think that was the start of it. And then we sort of moved away from that a little bit, but it's still there as a kernel.
I also think it could be interesting, what if we take this sort of quote-unquote data set and correlate it with the gross national product? Or correlate, like they do all these studies, what country, I think Switzerland right now is the happiest country, they say. Is it? Oh. And so America's definitely not. We're not that happy. But looking at what I think it's very interesting, not only in terms of behavioral economics, but sort of like freakonomics, when you look at you know, you try to apply, well, we've got this mood chart. Now what if we line it up with football games or gross national product or the fact that it was global warming?
Ice cream sales.
Yes.
Yeah. Ice cream. The new flavor from Ben & Jerry.
Well, mood was the thing that I had kind of most wanted to log, and I'm kind of a data nut. So I'd thought about logging all kinds of things like a food diary, or I already keep like a movie diary and I keep a video game diary, but I don't do a good job of dating all of those things. So I think if the framework took off and if we had success collecting this, we could really spin this and be like, what movie are you watching? .org, or what music are you listening to? But those are also projects that maybe someone else would want to do with the software, with our data set down the road.
It's funny because when you asked, came back and asked us, I'd say this morning I was the guy who said, well, I'm great today. I'm really excited. But, man, after, like, three drenchings and I haven't been back to the hotel and I'm just, like, a mess and my hair feels frizzy and I feel like I need a shower, it's just like I'm a damp. You know, rode hard and put up wet today. That's how I'm feeling right now.
But you look great.
Oh, stop it.
I think we have time for one, two more questions.
Yeah. Oh, we're done. Sorry. No. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm Michael.
How you feeling?
I'm nervous. So I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I am pro-Facebook, and one of the things that I find about Facebook is its social graph, that at any point in time I can find, you know, what my friends are doing, you know, what they're into. And so you're about collecting data sets, and I was thinking about how those data sets could be combined with a social graph. So to tell a little story, like, when I feel a certain way, I like to hang around people that feel the same way as me. And so how you're doing could be like a way of greeting each other, of like, maybe there are people in your Facebook or in your neighborhood or, I don't know, anywhere based on geolocation or whatever, that feel the same way that you do. And it would be a way for you to, if you're feeling bad, that you can find people that are feeling bad too, and you can go out to a bar and, you know, like, just talk your troubles away, or...
Don't you mean drink?
Or drink your troubles away.
Cheers.
Or if you're feeling really good, you know, or you're feeling active, you can use your mood as a way to adjust your mood. You know, find other people that are into the same things, or not really into the same things, but feeling the same way, and you can all adjust your mood together. And so I know that you're kind of anti-Facebook and that it brings in too much data. But for that aspect of Facebook in which, you know, you are connected to a social graph and you have other people that are, you know, have different or the same moods or varying moods, then it'd be a way to connect to one another through your social graph.
Yeah, I mean, part of for me, anti-Facebook is really just how much data it's coming in and how much time it's asking you to commit. And again, with Facebook, part of the brilliance of it and what they do so well is how they, through the social graph, really encourage and reward, you know, that participation. And everybody, again, to just... I'm very old-fashioned about how I do my networking, but I have so many friends that go on Facebook and say, oh my gosh, I caught up with all these people from high school that I wouldn't have otherwise. But again, on the flip side, there's a panel last night where everybody said that they're overwhelmed and they're struggling with how do they deal with those networks, and that's becoming this new etiquette balance that you have to do. Like, what do you do when you get invites from people you don't really know? And you kind of, you know, and some people, they're like, well, I respond to everybody, but once it hits 800, how do you respond to everybody? Another thing I find that really interesting, and I was joking with somebody earlier, it just came back to me, was the idea, I was joking, I was like, what if we RFID tagged people at a certain level? Like a certain level of reward, you get a tag. And now you know where you are. And it was totally speculative, but it sort of reminded me of that idea of, part of it was like that would allow you to then almost directly correlate how you're feeling with what you want to be doing. And I think you hit on it in a much more realistic way through the social graph of Facebook, you know, so that you could check moods and say, I do want to hang out with some people who are in a good mood. I need a pick-me-up, so I'm going to hang out with Patrick.
Guaranteed. But I think to tie together, after we launch, if someone wanted to write a Facebook app, we wouldn't be opposed to it. We'd help them, give them the APIs and anything else they needed to make that happen. It's just probably not what we're going to spend our free time doing, because this is like a volunteer free time, you know, sweat, blood kind of effort for us.
So I think we've hit time. Thanks, everybody, for your Q&A and your ideas. Really
yes,
appreciate
thank
it.
You very much.